Well, if you remember on Sunday, we talked a little bit about some of our favorite Christmas books. Some of you guys shared some of the books that you read at Christmas. I know with my family, we have a number of different books that we read to prepare ourselves for Christmas. And we talked a little bit about one that we read in our family called The Best Christmas Pageant Ever. And there was a movie that was made this year of it. It's become quite a popular book. But my favorite story at Christmas time is called A Christmas Carol. And many of you are very familiar with it. It's written by Charles Dickens, and it was first published in London in 1843. A Christmas Carol recounts the story of Ebenezer Scrooge, an elderly miser who's visited by the ghost of his former business partner, Jacob Marley. And the spirits of Christmas past, present, and future yet to come visit him that night. After their visit, Scrooge is transformed from a penny-pinching miser to a kinder, gentler, and ultimately saved man. Throughout the years, A Christmas Carol has been a beloved Christmas classic. There have been countless movies that have been made, cartoons, you name it. There are many, many different versions of A Christmas Carol that are out there. But at its heart, the story is always about Ebenezer Scrooge. His journey and understanding how Christmas was impacted in the past and the present and the future is the heart of that story. And like Ebenezer Scrooge, we're going to see how the birth of Jesus this afternoon has forever changed our past, our present, and even our future. I'm just going to take a couple minutes this evening and look at what the coming of Jesus Christ, what exactly are we celebrating at Christmas time? Well, the first thing that we see is that Jesus and his coming impacts the past because we were once lost in sin. The book of Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says this: "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son." See, the message of the gospel didn't just come when Jesus came. The Bible tells us that God, all throughout the Old Testament, had been reaching out to mankind, a mankind who had fallen away because of their sins. We're told over and over again in the Old Testament that God was trying to redeem man from the sin that that was part of. Jesus made promises to Adam and Eve, promises to Abraham. He showed himself through the miracles of the prophets. He spoke to them over and over again through judges and kings and prophets. Yet as we go through the Old Testament, time and time again, people followed the same patterns. The sin that began with Adam and Eve didn't end with them, but it continued generation after generation. In fact, in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 to 12, the Bible puts it this way. It says, "No one is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together, they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one." For all of mankind's efforts to do good, to make life better, the reality of the Bible is that all of mankind, not just some, but all, the Bible says, has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's the story of mankind. It is clear that no matter how much good we endeavor to do, and this is a season where many try to do good, they try to give and take care of others, but we cannot earn our way to heaven. Is a gift that is given to us by God to overcome the failures of our past. In Romans 6:23, we're told this: "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." See, for us, our past, and for many, their present and future, is the story of sin. It defines who we have been, and it can define who we become. But because of Jesus Christ, he is able to overcome our past failure. The past that should doom us and separate us from God because of Jesus Christ can become something very different. And that brings us to our present. How does the birth of Jesus Christ not just impact where we've been, but where we are right now? Well, the Bible tells us it's because we have purpose in this life. In John 10:10, Jesus says this. He says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly." See, when Jesus was here on earth, he didn't only just talk about eternal life, but here with his disciples, he says, "Listen, I haven't come to just change your eternal destiny. I've come to change your time here and now." And the same is true for each of us. While we look forward to the glories of heaven, and don't worry, we'll talk about that in just a moment, understand, we don't have to wait until heaven to experience the goodness of Jesus Christ in our life. With Christ's birth, we have a new life and we have new purpose in that life. The Bible tells us that we are not our own, but that we are bought with a price. And God has important jobs for us to do here in the presence. In other words, I'm not just sitting here waiting around until God calls me home, but I have work to do here on earth. What kind of work is that? Well, the Bible tells us. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, it says this: "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me," Jesus said. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." This incredible message that we have, that we've been celebrating, is not just for us, but God has called us to take this good news to all people, to share this with all that we come into contact with. For God wishes for none to perish, but for all to have everlasting life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 to 21, we read this. Paul writes, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Did you catch what Paul's saying here? This incredible message, this story of the birth and the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, isn't just for our Bibles to contain. It comes from us as well. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation, not just keeping this truth to ourselves, but we are called to share it with the world. See, we're not just sitting around waiting for heaven. God leaves us here so we can make sure we can bring as many people as we can with us. These commands give us purpose in this life. They give us direction and meaning. We wake up every day knowing that God has given us a job to do. Just like the angel shared the good news to the shepherds on that very first Christmas, we too are called to go and share the good news as well. Well, we've seen how Jesus' birth impacts the past. We see the impact it has on our present, but just like Ebenezer Scrooge, there's also the story of the future. And how does Christ impact the future? Well, when we put our faith and trust in him, we have everlasting life. Well, we're coming to the end of the year. We only have a week left in 2024. And usually when we get to this point of the year, we usually take some time to reflect on what kind of year it's been. So what about you guys? Have you had a good year or a bad year? Everybody just shout out, good or bad. Ready? One, two, three.
Good.
Yeah. There's some different answers there. I heard a meh there, somewhere in between. Well, why do I ask you that? Because listen to what it says in Romans 8:18. Paul says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed to us. In other words, no matter how you answer that question, whether 2024 was the best year you've ever had, or maybe it was the worst year you've ever had. Well, guess what? If it was the best year, it is not worthy to be compared to the glory that awaits us. And if you can't wait for January 1st and for a new year to roll around, guess what? That verse is just as true for you. The things in this life are not worthy to be compared to the glory that awaits us. See, no matter what kind of year it's been, the birth of Jesus allows us to have hope for the future. What does that hope look like? Well, while the Bible doesn't tell us everything about the glory that awaits us, it does tell us a few things. In Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 to 4, John gives us a glimpse of what that eternal life looks like. He says, look, God's dwelling place is now among people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has been done away with. Think about that. Whether this year was great or difficult, all of us have dealt with struggle and hurt and loss. I know that there are many of you that are sitting here today that have had to say goodbye to people that you love, that have had to deal with pain and struggle. And the Bible tells us that there will come a day where those things will be a memory. For most of us, we just wait for the other shoe to drop. But there will come a day, because of Jesus Christ, where those things will not even be part of our vocabulary anymore. In A Christmas Carol, one of the beautiful things about it is after seeing how Christmas changed the past, the present, and the future, Scrooge, he learns, doesn't he? He wakes up on Christmas morning, a new and changed person. These same truths can happen to us. We don't have to leave the same that we came. We can understand that because of Jesus Christ, our past, our present, and our future are eternally changed. We, like Ebenezer Scrooge, can be new creations. In fact, that's exactly what the Bible tells us when we come to know Jesus Christ. We become new creations. The old passes away, and something new comes into being. Many Christmases ago, there was a story that was told about a father and a son, and both of them enjoyed collecting art together. The couple, they spent a great deal of time both painting and traveling around the countryside, finding and collecting these beautiful pieces of art. And they went from location to location, finding these valuable pieces of art, not because they wanted to sell them, but because they appreciated their beauty, and they hung them up all over their cottage. Well, later that year, war broke out, and the son was drafted into the army. The father was at home. He still continued the family collection, going to art collections and finding beautiful pieces of work to share. Unfortunately, one day, the old man received a knock on his door. A soldier stood at his door. He said, "Sir, can I come in?" And the old man welcomed him in. He said, "Sir, I have to tell you, your son was killed in the line of duty. The father was brokenhearted and broke down in tears, and the young soldier sat with him. He said, "Sir, I asked to come and tell you this information myself because your son died saving my life. We were pinned down. The retreat was called. Unfortunately, I could not get away. And even though your son had gotten to safety, he went back in and he got me out. But it cost him his life." While the father was brokenhearted, there was incredible joy and hope that filled his heart, knowing that his son had given his life for this young man. The soldier and the father, they sat down and they ate together. And they spent the rest of the night talking. They shared stories about his son and how much he enjoyed his friendship. And then finally, they said goodbye. For many weeks, the father had a hard time eating and he had a hard time going on. But as he looked around his house, he saw all the beautiful paintings that he and his son had collected through the years. And they encouraged him. They inspired him. And he kept on collecting with his son and in his memory of the son. But after many more years, the old man himself got sick and soon passed away. And there was a great buzz in the art community because word had gotten out about the father and the son's collection of incredible pieces of art. And since the father had no children to leave it to, the entire art collection was going to be up for auction. People from all over the world came to this small little hamlet to bid on some of these priceless works of art that had been accumulated through the years. People crammed into this small cottage, looking at all the beautiful paintings on the wall, wondering what they were going to bid. The auctioneer started the auction, and something that was very important. The father had a picture of his son that was hung up over the mantle. It was a gift from that soldier that he had gotten many years before. The soldier had stayed in touch with the man and, in fact, had even made a rough portrait of his son. And it became the prized possession of the old man. So as the auctioneer began the auction with the people all over, he said, "We're going to begin at the man's wishes with this picture of his son." He says, "Can I get a bid?" The bidding starts at $100. "Can I get $100 for the picture of the man's son?" There was no answer. "Can I get $50? $50 for a picture of the man's son?" There was no answer. $25. $25 for this picture. Finally, someone shouted, "Hey, I'll bid $25 if we could just get to the real art." And then there was a young man in the back. He says, I will bid $25. I knew the young man. He was a friend to me. The auctioneer said, "Going once, going twice, sold." Hey, Elijah, how you doing, buddy? And the picture of the son was sold for $25. The auctioneer picked up his gavel again and rang it down a second time. "That concludes our auction," he said. The people were outraged. There was shouting. There was arguing. Finally, the auctioneer calmed the people down. He said, "According to the old man's will, the one who bought the son, they get it all. All the pieces of artwork are going to go to the young man who bought the picture of the son." Why do we tell this story? Because the same is true when it comes to Jesus Christ. Whether it's your past, your present, or your future, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't just get some, you get it all. He gives us forgiveness for sins. He gives us purpose in this life, and he gives us the promise of everlasting life. This is the joy. This is the hope. This is the story of Christmas. This is why we put up lights, and this is why we celebrate, because those who get the Son, they get it all. And you can have that too. The Bible tells us we've all sinned We've all fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, separation from God. That's what we've earned. That's what we deserve. But while the wages of sin is death, the good news of Christmas is that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, his Son. How do we receive that gift? Well, some of you are going to go home. Maybe tonight you're going to open some presents tomorrow morning. Well, there might be presents under your tree right now, but are they yours right now? Not yet. What do you have to do? You have to go receive them. The Bible tells us, to those who receive them, he gives everlasting life. While the gift of eternal life is available to all, each person has to accept that gift for themselves. How do we do it? Romans 10, 9 and 10 tells us, if we confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we would be saved. That is not just how we celebrate Christmas. It's how we have everlasting life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to know and worship you today. We thank you, Lord, that you did not just cover over our sins in this moment, but in every moment. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, he became the propitiation of our sin, covering over our sin, not just for now, but for all time, giving us a past, a present, and a future that is directed towards heaven. So, Lord, we give you thanks. We sing your praise today. It is in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.